Now we're going back to the committee recommendations, which we can move en bloc. They're on pages 51, 56, and 61 of the agenda. Would someone like to move them en bloc? Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Valescu. Just give an opportunity for any comment or question briefly. No, then I can put that as a motion. All three committee reports, put your hand up if you agree. They are confirmed. That's carried unanimously. No one against, was it? No, carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we move on to the coastal walkway project. Now, before I do, one procedural point. Ms. McKenzie, on my screen I have two Councillor Clancy's present. Is that in order?
Through the chair, I believe she may have logged on twice through.
All right, Councillor, but you don't get two votes. It's all
So
right.
we're just taking the blanked out screen as a
It's
new
because
point.
of the phone connection. The phone connection is logged in as a person. It's not.
Oh, okay. No, that's right. As long as everyone else is happy, that's fine. The Coastal Walkway Project. So we're on page 86 of the agenda. I've got someone to. I mean, the great news here is that the state government have come to the party with 50%, but they are really keen that we get on with it, that we don't take 4 years, that we actually spend some money very soon on this project. So it means coming back with a tender for design and construction pretty soon. Let's see, where's it's very hard for me to see people in the room. But Mr. Haridis, when, or Mr. Salmon, I'm not sure, when are we going to, when is this next going to come back to council so we can put out a tender or something? What's the next step? Mr. Salmon, go ahead if you unmute.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, we've got the tender documents ready to go, so we can
Beautiful.
put that out this week.
Oh, great. So who would like to move? Councillor Gard, your and seconded Councillor Crossland. Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak to that?
Yes, I do have a question as well, and that is,
Yes, go ahead.
should we not, in the light of what Mr. Salmon has just indicated, look towards the fifth part of the recommendation, which talks about re the remaining renewal stages being from 2024-25. I assume that that would come forward.
Well, that I believe refers to after we've done the three bits we're about to do. After we've done that, it's the rebuild of the whole of the rest of it, which at the moment has
Okay.
been patched up. So that probably could stay there.
Okay, well, I guess what we assume therefore is that by default we would move quickly on the project if we approve this recommendation.
Yes, and it's what they're calling stages one and two.
Yes.
So that's what we need to rip into
So I'll
ASAP,
be
and the staff understand that.
Only too happy to move the recommendation, and I wonder whether we should, due to the size of the funding, put out a letter of acknowledgement and thanks to the state government for its gesture, or is
Yes,
that?
there's already been both Minister Spears and myself on behalf of Council have put out some public statements congratulating ourselves and each other, basically, and celebrating the fact on behalf of the community. But no doubt, as we make progress, there'll be more collaboration on that front. I was extremely pleased to open the Sunday Mail one morning and find out that that we were collaborating with the state government.
Anything I
Councillor.
would say to the motion would be redundant, I'm sure, so I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you very much. Councillor Crossland, you're seconding?
Nothing to add, thank you, Your Worship.
Then is there anyone against? Put the motion, all those in favour? Or anyone against? Then that's carried unanimously, thank you. We can move on to the next item. The draft annual business plan, Councillor Bulescu's quick off the mark here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move scenario 3 and slightly change the wording to be targeted COVID-19 relief, response and recovery funds.
So instead of stimulus, you've got response and recovery.
Yeah, so have relief, response, recovery instead of stimulus, yeah.
Okay, the minute takers got that?
Can I ask what page we're on?
Councillor Powell, we're on page 89.
89, yeah.
And in particular, Councillor Bulescu has moved the third option, which is actually described as scenario 3 on page 91, if you want to have a look at that. So, Councillor Bulescu, I'll ask you to now to speak to the motion.
Look, I think from discussions we've had previously, it's very positive that we do want to assist the community. But I think it's important that we assist people in the most effective way and those who need it. I think by looking at an option of freezing, it'll have little impact on those who do need it. The people that get that slight reduction and still can't pay their rates will still approach us for hardship. I think it's a huge opportunity cost, especially this early in the piece. Recovery from major incidents like the bushfire, that's a very important part, as well as what you give out or provide for the community initially. I also think that something like this, the economic impact will not be as effective as perhaps something in a more insulated environment, because we don't know how that money will be spent. I think we are better off looking at targeting our response, targeting our resources to have the most impact, because of all levels of government, we're the ones with the least options as far as income goes. I think the options need to be considered by, as we know the situation, and I do have faith, we do have staff that actually have worked in the recovery and the response to the bushfires recently. And I think also here we're doing too much too soon and then leaving ourselves with little ability to look at that response and recovery at a later date. I think by allowing for a fund for targeted relief and response and recovery, we can complement the other relief available through other levels of government. I think this is a responsible way forward. It allows us to make the most of any extra funds, and ideally we're not collecting more money from the community. The extra money we collect from a 1.6% rate rise will go to assist the local community, assist those, and as we have more time we can find out the best ways to do that. There'll be a lot of people that will get a slight reduction in what they would have had to pay and probably don't need it, and I think it'll be a larger percentage, and we still don't know the impact of people's ability to pay rates.
Thank you, Councillor. That's time. Thank you. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Masika, thank you. Would you like to speak to that?
Thanks, Your Worship. I believe Councillor Bulescu has mentioned everything which I expected to talk, so I'm not going to add any other further comments.
All right. Thanks very much. Anyone speaking against that? And, of course, members are aware that if this motion succeeds, that's well and good. If it fails, then somebody's probably going to move another option. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I am against scenario 3. I would personally like to see scenario 2 with a 0% rise moving to 1.3 by 27-28, because I believe that even though it's only a small amount, I think the whole community should benefit from a 0% rate rise rather than just people that contact council seeking assistance. Now, I understand everyone is in different situations, but I think the whole community should benefit because there are people in our community, and I've had phone calls from residents that don't want to stick their hand out for hardship and just want to be heard, and they think a 0% rate rise will help them. Yes, they understand that it is only potentially $24 for the year, but that $24 is an extra $24 that they don't have to fork out and they can use elsewhere. So I will foreshadow, if this motion fails, that I will move scenario 2 and I will leave my debate there at this point.
Thank you. Anyone else in favour of option 3, which Councillor Valescu has moved? Councillor Hull. Unmute. You just need to unmute. Thank you.
I have a question, if that's okay.
Yes. And if you could also... all right. Start off with a question. Thanks.
In regards to the motion that's been put, for people that might want to apply for some sort of rate benefit from the scenario 3.
Yes.
How many hoops have they got to jump through, and how much paperwork is involved, and what percentage of the community do we know that will never actually seek a reduction because of all the paperwork and bureaucracy they've got to go through?
Well, I know in terms of the hardship provisions, I've had discussions about this with management, and basically, if people phone up or make contact, they're asked a series of questions about their finances. It can be done over the phone. And I don't think there's been one that's been refused so far. So it doesn't sound very complicated, but would staff like to add to that? Mr. Skull or Ms. Dinsmore or Mr. Barnwell? Mr. Barnwell, just unmute and proceed. Just need to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Through the chair. Look, scenario 3 is probably the most complex for us to actually manage and operate, but it's probably, in my view, it's probably the best solution for the community because it is a targeted response as regards supporting those people who are really vulnerable in the community and suffering hardship. And it's not across the board, but it is difficult for us. We will have to certainly look at ways, look at again at our hardship policy and how we can actually effectively manage that $1.2 million relief fund. And, so that it's not just going to be a straight, we'll have to have a real rethink around our hardship provisions, Chris, to see how we can actually manage that properly to ensure that we can effectively support remission of rates or whatever solutions we come up to help relieve our residents' hardship and etc. So it is probably the most complex one for us to administer. But having said that, because it's complex, there's probably no reason why we shouldn't be putting that forward.
And so a consequence of that is probably at the next elected members forum, as soon as possible anyhow, if this motion is passed, we would want to see some different options. But I mean, the hardship provision in relation to rates is just one part of the package, but there could also be vouchers to spend at local businesses. There's a whole range of things that could be done. But that needs a little bit of homework before announcing, and it needs a discussion with elected members. So to pick up on Councillor Hull's point, it's about making it easy for the community, and it doesn't matter if it means a bit more administration for the council. Councillor Hull, would you like to take this opportunity as your speaking contribution as well?
Yeah, I will. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I will speak against this motion. I, like Councillor Schilling, would prefer the zero rate increase. The explanation given about how easy it would be for my community to actually seek the rate relief sounds confusing and vague. I don't think it's a time for us to be confusing and vague. People are quite kerfuffled by this world they're in at the moment. And what worries me is that if we look over the, say, the next 3 years, with the scenario that's being put, everybody will be net disadvantaged by scenario three compared to the zero rate increase, which will have a compounding benefit over the three-year period. In other words, people will be paying less rates, not only this year, the year after and the year after that, because of the compounding benefit. We've all seen the compounding deficit that people can have by rates going up 5% every year. That can add up. And Councillor Gard quite rightly pointed this out in the forum, that we built up quite a nice little kitty to actually fall back on. And here we are in those hard times, Mr. Mayor, and the ratepayers can now get the benefit of their hard-paid rates that they've actually chipped in during the 1990s when the administration led the elected members to believe that those sort of rates were needed. Little did I know they weren't. But nevertheless, we have that kitty, we have that padding, financial padding, and we can actually afford to do the zero rate increase and probably even look at particular hardship cases on merit as well. We're going to get them anyway, regardless of the level of rate increase. As I mentioned before, it was before the last election, one council was advocating zero rate increase. Thank you. Sorry?
Yeah, just a final sentence.
Every time I bring this up, it's time to finish. It's interesting.
Well, it's 2 minutes, Councillor. You're under the same time conditions as everybody else.
Right.
So I'm after order. You'll need to be quiet, please.
Am I finished?
Yes, your time is up. That's the point.
Oh, okay. All right.
Is there someone else then speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Crossland has done the right thing and put his electronic hand up, and he's next on the list.
Trying to ask a question, if I may.
Oh, I see. Yes, go ahead.
I'd just like to find out, so we've been into this crisis for some time. I'm just trying to find out the monetary value of claims so far under the hardship provisions, and also how that compares to previous years.
Mr. Balmer.
Through the chair, I got an update this afternoon. We've had 79 assessments which have requested a rate deferral to date. This is as of this afternoon. Seven of those are commercial, which equates to probably $101,000 worth of rates being deferred. We had three industrial and 69 residential requests. All up, we've overdues for all classes is 175,000 in rates being deferred, and the fees and charges waived up until July is 4,263. I gave the payments in relation to last year and this year. Back in April, the information I gave at the last meeting, we had 3,381 payments in April 2019, which is a comparable equivalent to this year because we had an Easter break in there as well, totaling 461,000. And this year in April 20, we've had 3,535 payments, an increase of 154, 4.5%, and roughly the same amount in rates paid of 456,000.
All right. Now, I was looking for a speaker in favour of the motion. Councillor Mason, I think you put your hand up for that, so please proceed.
Yeah, I'd like to support option three as well, as other councillors, Councillor Velescu has mentioned. It's definitely the best option. It's going to be able to support the businesses that really need it, and as well as the residents that need it. I think it's just the best option for the community at the time.
All right. Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Gard. Just unmute. Yes. Thanks.
Yes, I'm very much in favour of scenario two, and I really would like to see us be pragmatic in relation to relief stimulus fund. Whether that means a provision or not, perhaps we can delay that. But I just wanted to make a few points. One is that we know that we're well placed to extend our borrowings somewhat. I know I'm a broken record on that, but there's no more apt time for me to remind people of that point. And this is what all levels of government all around the world are facing in order to alleviate the hardships. There's also the fact that what we may well face in the next 12 months is some pretty serious revaluations of higher value properties. They could come down considerably more than the average. And that in turn, if anyone understands the nature of the calculation of rates, that in turn could put upward pressure on some of the lower valued properties. And that's just a fact of life. I hate the system, and I'm sorry to use such an emotional word. I think it's a dreadful system, but it's a fact of life that we inherit. So I think we need to be prepared for that issue, as well as the natural issues that we know everyone is likely to face that at the moment are quite immeasurable. So over time, I think we have to be prepared as a level of government in Australia to suffer as other levels of government have chosen to do in order to try to restore as much balance to those that are more likely to suffer hardship as possible. So I'm all in favour of two. I think three is quite inappropriate in itself, except for the fact that I would like to see us be pragmatic about the relief stimulus fund possibility.
All right. Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Then I'll go back to Councillor Valescu to close the debate. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this gives us the opportunity to have some money put aside for local businesses to use it where we need it most. I don't think we should shy away for something because it is not simplistic. Sometimes to get a more effective response, it does need to have some complexity, but I trust that staff will look at some options and bring it back to us, and also look at those options as far as making them as easy for people as possible. This gives us an opportunity to maybe put some stimulus funding into those industries that are affected. And we don't know what's going to happen. I think there'll be a flow-on effect, just like there was with the GFC. Some of those issues people saying aren't there, they haven't yet been devised. The detail hasn't been devised, and we'll have that opportunity. And also feedback from the community as we go through as to what, you know, who is being affected and how. I also think that this option doesn't deprive us of all our CCP funding, the partnership funding. That will not be removed. It will be removed in option two. So members, if we find that we need to support the community next year, we have that option for next year as well. But it doesn't mean that it's all locked away in a slight rate decrease effectively, and then we have little left to react and support our community.
Now, for the voting, because I think there'll be a variety of views, I'm going to ask people to vote using their electronic ability of raising a hand. If you, I think I'm right, if people click on the participants function, then they'll see where they can raise their hand. And I'm going to ask you now.
Just clarification, Mayor Hannah.
Sorry, we need clarification on that.
There's no yes or no like there was last night?
There's no yes or no because we're in webinar function and there's no yes or no. That's why I'm asking for a raise of hands, just like you would to draw attention of the chair during a debate. Perhaps one of the staff could just take people through the process step by step. It's only a very short two steps, but who can advise elected members?
If you click on participants and then raise hand when you see participants on the right-hand side of your screen.
All right. So I'll ask those who are in favour, please raise your electronic hand. All right. And I see that Councillor Masika wants to add to that.
Your Worship, I can't find up that raised hand because I'm trying to click that one, but I can't find it on my where I'm directed to find it.
That's right. Takes a bit of getting used to. I'll count you as a yes at present.
Yeah.
So I've got six in the affirmative. Now I'll ask members to lower those hands.
Just clarification, may I only see four hands?
All right. A point of order on the numbers. So could people please vote again and raise your electronic hand if you're in favour of the motion? Councillor Masika has found the right symbol there. All right. No, there are only five. Possibly because sometimes people move around on the screen. Five it is. Very well. Now I'll ask people to lower those hands. You just click on the same spot again. And thank you. Now those who are against the motion, please raise your electronic hand. Right, I can see five.
Yep, Councillor Hull, I don't believe you have voted.
Councillor Hull, could you, Councillor Hull, are you voting in the negative? Yes, he's in the negative. And do we have one councillor absent? Because I've got 11. Oh, sorry, Councillor Gard, so seven. The motion is defeated. Right, so now would someone like to move another motion? Councillor Schilling, and you can put your hands down, by the way.
Thank you, Your Worship. I, as foreshadowed in my previous debate, would like to move that we put option two in with a 0% rate rise decreasing to 1.3 over the next 10 years.
Very well. Did you wish to say anything further about it?
I think I said most of what I wanted in the last debate. I think a 0% rate rise benefits the whole community, not just some. It especially is more relevant now, especially when Mr. Barnwell said that they're not sure how they're going to initiate option three, and that raised some flags with me. But I want to reiterate to councillors that just because we're doing 0% does not mean that the members of our community can't still contact council for hardship. The hardship policy is still there for a reason, and they can access that, and staff will see them through that process.
Thank you. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Gard, go ahead. Just unmute.
Unmute. Thanks. I have nothing further to add. I agree entirely with Councillor Schilling's take on it.
Right. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think it's really disappointing that this argument about complexity, it's all too complex. It's not too complex. We have to look at who needs it and an easy way to do it. So I think that's a little bit, a bit of a cop-out, but I guess it's a tactic to make a more targeted option seem less appealing. And it's disappointing that we've chosen that. I think also that the relief is just a deferral. There will be a situation where we may need to pump more money into things. And once again, we're taking out all our partnership funding for the next 10 years. That's all going. And we have a funding deficit. And we say we can borrow more money, but then that means we're actually asking the residents to pay interest to do things where we wouldn't have needed to do that. So it is disappointing that we are at this point. There is the opportunity to reconsider. So members, I do think there are some concerns with this option. It's very simplistic. We can feel good about ourselves and think we've done something, but we're not like other agencies, other organisations who aren't spending the money during this period and before, perhaps can freeze their fees. So members, I urge you not to vote for this option.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Telfer? You need to... Oh, we can't hear you. So just adjust. You're not muted. But we can't hear you. Is it the old headset problem? Can staff advise, is there any other way we can get Councillor Telfer online? Looks like she's picking up the computer.
All right.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Perfectly.
I support this because I believe there are so many people in our community that will feel they have to dig deep. We have a most unusual situation that is impacted on most people one way or another. And it is the big players that can apply for hardship. It is the ordinary people that will just put up with it. And that includes all sorts of people of all sorts of ages, businesses, working situations. And I don't want to discriminate. I want that $24 distributed across the community.
Thank you. Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Masika?
Thanks, Your Worship. I'm quite disappointed because I wasn't expecting to get a rebate from the council because I can't afford to pay there. No, I've been speaking to people from my area and they don't mind to pay so long the money is being used wisely and to support development within the council. So, and the, what we've decided now, because when it comes up with the subsequent years, we'll increase the rate by, to back to 1.8 and the people, they won't understand what we are doing. One year we are zero, and then the next one we are pushing to 1.8, another year 1.3. It will be throwing people all over the place. So I was expecting the sensible way is to have a fund for to support those who are struggling. And when you, if you watch up with the news, the Commonwealth government, they gave the $750 to one couple. They don't need it. They want to donate it to the business owner for the to the cafe. Because they say we don't need it. But the Commonwealth government gave them because it was a blanket, you know, policy, which I don't think whether we should go that way. So having a targeted fund and also use up those hardship, it was going to be really sensible way of dealing with this coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. So I'm quite disappointed.
All right. Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I still support a targeted fund, and I still think if someone can come up with a fair and equitable way of using such a fund, there are still funds in council coffers to fund such a thing. However, nobody yet has really showed me the way through that. The rates system, as pointed out by Councillor Gard, is a completely unfair system. We take a lot of rates off some people that can't afford it. I think we should be giving back in exactly the same way. I think that's the much fairer way. The other thing that I'd just like to add is we're not actually giving a rebate. We're actually just not increasing the rates any more than they are. So everyone's still going to be paying rates. The only difference being is for a lot of people, they shouldn't go up very much. For people on the minimum wage, it won't go up at all. But people probably on some of the house values that have gone up in some areas will still end up with an increase. So I'd ask you to support this as a fairest way of distribution, but it's not closing the door on a targeted approach in the future. Should somebody come up way, some up with a way in which we can do that fairly and without the added bureaucracy.
Thank you. Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll leave it to Councillor Schilling to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I won't say much more. I think majority of the councillors that have spoken for this motion this evening have expressed a lot of what I'm feeling. But I just want to reiterate that there are members of the community that are struggling, and there are members of the community that don't normally struggle that are struggling, and this will assist them. And the hardship policy is still there that they can access. And I don't believe council staff will refuse hardship. And if they do, I encourage the community to come see us, and we can help walk them through it and talk to staff to get some decent outcomes for them.
Right, thank you. Now we'll do voting in the same way. So by electronic hand raising, could those in favour please raise your hand? Right, well, I can see 8 hands raised. Those against, raise your hands. Oh, if you could, sorry, if people, you could take those hands down first, please. So now those who are voting against the motion. Right, have we got one missing, Ms. McKenzie? I thought I saw 8-3.
Sorry, I'm just trying to go through it now.
Did anyone not vote?
Oh, back up to 4 now.
Oh, yes. Well, did anyone vote? Well, I counted Councillor Mason on the affirmative as well, I think. Councillor Mason, which way did you vote? No, just on the negative. All right. Part of the interesting problem for a chair is that the tiles of faces actually move around during the meeting, which makes it extremely difficult when it comes to these items.
Just a point of order as well. Sorry to interrupt. Point of order, Councillor
Pryor.
Our Councillor Masika's back now, but he was out the meeting for that vote. So I don't know how we want to manage that.
No, I voted. Yeah, I voted.
Right. You voted with this camera off.
Yeah, there's... I uphold the point of order, but under exceptional circumstances, I'll accept the vote. But it's just that people are voting. They should be visible according to our meeting protocol. In any case, I think I can say that the motion is carried. So we can move on to the next item. Thank you, everyone. And you can lower those hands. We're up to the corporate reports. Now, some of these could be taken on block, but I think perhaps I know people are really interested in waste. So the SWARA information report, let's just take that individually. Would someone like to move that be, or move a motion accordingly?
What page is that on, Your Worship? Sorry.
Beg your pardon, page 140. I mean, it's very much a report for information.
Yeah, I'm happy to move as printed.
It's moved. Is it seconded? Councillor Duncan. Did you wish to add anything, Councillor Duncan? No, but I will give members the opportunity to ask questions if they have any. Well, if not, then we'll simply vote. All those in favour, raise your physical hand. Yep, that's unanimous. No one against. Fantastic. Now, what I was going to suggest is that we move the Delane Avenue driveway link update, work health and safety, and finance report and questions taken on notice register on block. Moved Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Telfer. That having been done, I do want to reassure anyone watching the live stream that the Delane Avenue driveway link is a status report only, and while we're awaiting the technical reports to come in, it's being basically kicked down the road to a future meeting. So there's not a lot to discuss tonight. That's why I thought it was appropriate to wrap all of these up together. But I give councillors the opportunity to ask questions about any of those reports. Councillor Telfer. Sorry, councillor, we just need to be able to hear you once again. I'll do my little bit to unmute, but I'm not sure if it'll do it. Councillor, you'll have to do it. I can't do it. Thank you. Still can't hear you. Can the host of them? Thank you. Yes, you're on now.
I just want to raise in the finances the graphs, like on page 156, cumulative capital expenditure variation. There's quite a lot of graphs that the planning goes that the heavy lifting is done in June, and obviously with a very unusual situation, it could well be that that pushes that. So are we into an unusual year of the June predictions of obviously some very large projects turning into July, August, September, the scenario that we've fought fairly hard against?
Mr. Lyons might be the person to answer that, not sure. Mr. Lyons.
Thank you, members. Nice to see you tonight. This is a common end of year occurrence where it's fair that a number of our projects do take till the end of the year to wrap up. We do have a monthly Capital Works meeting, as you know, and there's all of the ELT a part of that, and we manage that well. There are a couple of projects that we will have a few carryovers, but I'm actually pretty confident on most of our programs that they're in good hands. One thing that will make members happy is that in a couple of these streams, we're actually forecasting an underspend. So that means that we'll complete the budget, but having spent less money that was in the budget. So that doesn't quite show up favourably at the moment, but it will be in the end of year results. So, Councillor Telfer, I'm fairly happy with how the program is tracking.
Councillor Telfer, go on.
Okay, a second question. Is the current change actually bringing us some change in our finances? I have in mind particularly like the libraries being closed. I know we're still paying staff, but have we got a pattern of some things not being paid for that has also changed what's happening?
Lines or someone? Or is it more of a finance question, Mr. Barnwell?
Through the chair, everybody. Yes, we do have, we have been working with, we've gone through our third budget review at this point in time, which is scheduled to come to council at the end of May. And we're working through those drops in income. Like we have things like a reduction in parking fines, some reduction in operations income from MCC, for instance, billing higher income. So there's a lot of that. We've estimated that's probably at this point in time, running at 100K a month less than it would normally. On the other side of the ledger, we have also reductions in expense, like learning and development costs, facility management. There's a few things like that which are actually reducing as well. So it's actually, they're almost offsetting each other. So we are still forecasting that we will have a surplus. Our second review surplus was about 835. We expect that surplus to actually increase slightly over the next couple of months as we complete third budget review. So whilst there are certain income streams and expense streams which are reducing, we're not having a major impact on our finances.
Thank you.
All right, Councillor Hull, you had questions? Just unmute. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, footpaths, both the footpath programs are are not fulfilled. They're on track to have an underspend. Given that tomorrow there's a footpath blitz announcement, I'd imagine that there'll be photo shoots and trip hazards pointed out left and right. Will that mean that this footpath graph will be corrected, that we'll get back on track and actually spend the money allocated on the footpaths as it should be?
So back to you, Mr. Lyons. And if you could add to that, there's a good question comes out of that as to whether when we see actual spending substantially less than budget spending, I mean, there are two different answers to that and the graph doesn't show us. It's either that we've got some great deals during the year, or it can be that footpaths aren't being done. So how do we know? But I think that's maybe part of Councillor Hull's question.
Yeah, if I could just clarify through the chair, my previous comment about completing projects under budget relates more to succinct individual capital projects like the Allison drainage program, which we completed. We did all of the scope and we completed that under budget. So that will represent savings that we will put back in the third business review that Mr. Barnwell is going through in the moment. Footpaths is more a program. They're not a individual succinct project. So it's not length related, it's dollars related. And as you'll see in the fine print on both of those charts, we are confident and at this stage anticipating completing all of those budgets by the end of June. As I said before, there is a little bit of a lag in some of the invoicing. That doesn't concern me. In fact, I can advise you that just yesterday I agreed in our third budget review to increase our footpath expenditure by a further $50,000 using contractors just to alleviate a little bit of the load of the footpath blitz, which, as Councillor Hull said, is going out to the media tomorrow.
Councillor Hull, does that answer your question?
It does. Just one last question. Irrigation. There's one particular reserve in my patch that I've been promoting for irrigation. It's got a current irrigation system that's turned off. But if you look at the graph, the irrigation expenditure is way down. And I was just wondering if there's an explanation for that.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but there is a bit more justification for this one. As you know, we have a collaborative irrigation team that goes across our three council areas, City Charles Sturt, Port Adelaide Enfield and ourselves, and all of our irrigation construction work is being done by that team. Now, we had a program of works that was scheduled at the start of the year, but we actually changed that program during the year. We had Bandon down at a certain stage and we rescheduled Bandon and brought another couple of reserves in, I think. So what has happened with that schedule is that we had a little bit done last July. In fact, we were the very first council to get any work done. So you can see in the blue in August, September, October, we got going really fast. And now we've been scheduled to have the rest of the works done in the last 2 months of the year. So again, that's going to happen, but the irrigation, the collaborative team is heading back our way at the end of the year. With regard to your reserve, Councillor Hull, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Perhaps if you could tell me the details.
Well, that goes off to board briefing or to take up offline. Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Then I'll put those four items on block. Raise your hand if you agree. Any objections? Raise your hand. No one against, so they're carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we can go to the city ban on glyphosate. Councillor Hull to move.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now I'll seek, just to do the right thing, I'll seek Ms. McKenzie's advice on this. I've already spoken on this, I'm sure of it, and I'm not sure where we're at in terms of the debate.
Ms. McKenzie, have we started this one?
Through the chair, I don't have any record of it, obviously, within the report. And unfortunately, because we are working from home, I haven't got my previous notes here either.
I apologise for that.
That's a green light, Councillor Hull. 2 minutes, away you go.
I don't get many green lights. Thank you very much. This matter is one of general feeling in the community, and in the original motion, I gave examples of other councils that have actually taken the step to actually prohibit the use of Roundup or glyphosate in their council areas, because of the concerns about the welfare of the staff who are using it. The other thing is that it actually, if it enters waterways, it can actually be quite lethal to the life in the waterways, the fish and the invertebrates in the waterways. So that's the other thing. But there must be better ways of doing it in our community now. There must be better technologies. The irony is, Mr. Mayor, I want to make this strong point, that we can go down a street and use this stuff down our streets. And a lot of people resent that. But at the end of the day, the weeds that can be sometimes a metre high die, and that's where they remain. They remain as a monument to the council killing the weed. And we've still got the visual plight of the weed in the street because nobody comes along and takes it away. So we can actually have a program where we actually physically take it away without using the poison, and it's a win-win because we actually get rid of the weeds and we actually resolve the situation in the streetscape where people are not happy with overgrown weeds. So the irony is that using poisons does not bring about the outcome that our community want in terms of weed removal in any event. But look, I won't take up too much time with this. I think that you either get it or you don't about the concerns around the world about this particular chemical. And as a council that has as one of their pillars, the environment as one of their concerns, and it should be taking this very, very seriously, and I seek a seconder.
Councillor, before you finish, can you just clarify, are you moving the motion as you formulated or the staff recommended motion on page 181?
Just bear with me.
So your motion is the ban and the staff recommendation is receiving a report about phasing out.
Mayor, could I just make
a quick comment? Mr. Lyons?
Apologies for interrupting. That's not actually the staff recommendation.
I beg your pardon?
That in a minute. It's actually an alternative should council want to go down this track. So I'm not recommending that one, and I can speak to that in a minute. It's an alternative recommendation.
All right. So it's a staff-drafted motion. It is too much to call it a recommendation. I apologise. But Councillor Hull, I'm just checking with you that you're moving your motion as drafted.
Do you know what, Mr. Mayor? Given the measure that I took of my colleagues when this was last raised, I was underwhelmed with the reception of my motion. This sounds like a reasonable compromise that's been put forward by somebody. It wasn't me, so it must have been a staff member. And maybe the smart money would be to go with the motion on page 181 that you've identified.
Right, so that's moving.
If that's in order, that way, we have a staged and considered approach to this, but we're in the right direction. And I think
that you don't need to speak to it further, but it's in order to move that motion because I hadn't asked you for clarification any earlier. As long as the minute taker has that on board. Yes, thank you. Now, Councillor Valescu had his hand up for a while. Was it a question or seconding? Councillor Valescu, you all right?
Your Worship, I was going to speak against the original motion. I'll just hold back now.
Okay, Councillor Crossland, are you seconding?
I'm not. It's just a point of order. In the notes, it says that there was an amendment moved by Councillor Valescu, which was actually seconded. So that was the point we were up to. I wonder what's going to happen to that now that it seems to have been forgotten.
Right. Thank you for drawing that to my attention.
That's why I raised this right at the beginning.
Yes, sorry, my apologies. What page is that on?
On page 178, and the point of order is upheld, Councillor Crossland. The amendment to the motion was carried, which is actually, you don't need to specify which motion, so it was not quite the right thing for me to ask you which one you preferred, because you don't have any choice about it, Councillor Hull. What we have at the moment is the amended motion before us. And it's not identical to the wording, because it talks about a report on the 12th of May, but that is the wording before us now, according to the report.
2019.
Just no yelling out, please. I did hear you, Councillor Gard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add the fact that the paragraph after that motion that was carried reads, the meeting was closed prior to the motion being voted on or formally adjourned, therefore.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's right. Well, thanks for Erasmus McKenzie, but it's all there in the report. And Councillor Gard, your point of order is upheld. And what we're left with is the fact that even though Mayor thought he'd gone astray, he was actually right in asking Councillor Hull which motion he was moving. And Councillor Hull clarified that he was moving the motion on page 181. Now, I have to say, chairing these meetings, it's a hell of a lot more difficult than in a physical meeting. And I have much less time to actually assimilate, even though I've read the agenda and made my notes, it's very hard to pick things up on the run, which I'm, let's say, better at doing in a physical meeting. So my apologies for that. Councillor Hull has moved the motion on page 181. Councillor Gard, you're putting up your hand to second it. But you will need to unmute.
Yes, I'm just remaining consistent with the seconding of the original motion put by Councillor Hull.
Now, Councillor Gard, I'll just interrupt, because Councillor Crossland, I'm just checking with you whether you have a point of order.
It is a point of order. My understanding was... Point of order
takes precedence. Go ahead.
My understanding was that the amendment was put, it was voted on, and it became the motion. Mm-hmm. That is therefore the motion. The motion itself wasn't voted on, but we did vote that amendment became the new motion. So I still don't understand why we just scrap that and move on.
Yes. There is a reason for that, because the amendment doesn't have, in a sense, a life of its own. It's not an outcome. It's not a resolution of the meeting. It's a point of departure, the fork in the road, where the meeting decides to resolve a different question to the one originally put. But if it never got to resolve that question, then nothing happened. It's a bit like some of the dreams that I have. I think we are on track, Councillor Crosslands. On this occasion, having considered that report more carefully, the point of order is not upheld. And I'll go back to Councillor Gard speaking to his seconding of the motion.
Yes, just to clarify, Councillor Hull has moved the amendment, which wasn't voted upon, but he has taken the opportunity to move that amendment, if I'm not wrong. And
Let's not call it an amendment, but he's moved what you see on page 181.
Sure. That's it, yep. So... Look, I did want to say a few words. I agree with everything that Councillor Hull has said. I think I'd like to add that there does seem to be a fair bit of empirical evidence evolving around the world about glyphosate. It's something that it would be nice to ignore it, but it's sort of like ignoring the possibility or the likelihood of disease on a Sea Princess cruise or a Ruby Princess cruise. It's nice to be able to, but it doesn't pay in the long run. And there's a real principle behind that. And we owe our community boldness and responsibility in something like this. Now, there is a price to pay, but I'm also, I leap on the behind the point that Councillor Hull made about the astonishing lack of finish to so many of the streets in our city simply because we kill weeds and leave them there. Now, all that does, it stops the spread, but it doesn't actually finish the job. And so to say, well, look, there's great savings in glyphosate products like Roundup because it's so quick and easy and cheap, I don't think that cuts it at all. I think it's half-baked, and I think we've got to do a hell of a lot better in that realm. But having said all of that, my governing point is that I believe it's responsible to look for ways to wind it back, and I do applaud the management and staff for what they did put up as an alternate motion.
Right. Anyone speaking against? Go to Councillor Pryor.
I have a couple of questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For Mr. Lyons. The first one is, do we have processes in place for the use of glyphosate?
Mr. Lyons.
Thank you, Councillor Pryor. Yes, we do. I have trained staff that use them. I've got copies of our documentation here. They all use appropriate PPE. They all follow safe operating procedures at every single site, or at least every single morning before commencing their work. They complete a JSEA of that site before undertaking that.
JSEA?
Operate under restricted timeframes when they apply the product.
Mr. Lyons, did you use the term JSCA?
Job Safety Assessment.
Job Safety and Environment Assessment.
So that's when what I thought you meant. Yes.
When my staff, all of my staff go to a site, at the beginning of the day, typically they'll have a look around the site and complete a safety assessment of the environment and the work they're about to start.
Councillor Pryor, anything more?
And this would all be in accordance with the safety directions on the label, correct?
That is 100% correct.
Anything else, Councillor Pryor?
I'd like to contribute to the debate if I can.
We'll have a mover and a seconder. Are you speaking against?
I am speaking against at this stage.
Go ahead.
Depending on where you look on the internet, you can find whatever you want. I'd just like to go to some data from the American Cancer Society page, which I actually do trust, despite the fact that it's American. It has glyphosate as a type 2A carcinogen, which is probably carcinogenic to humans. Now, this is in the same category as hot beverages. It's in the same category as frying food over high heat. As working in a hairdresser and consumption of red meat. So let's be a little realistic about what we're banning here. And if we want to go down that path, I think we should probably ban all these other things as well. Some of the numbers on this are quite astounding as well, as are in the report. We pay $150,000 to spray our verges at the moment. Regardless of whether we remove the weeds or not, that's a completely different problem. We pay $150,000 to spray them. If we decide to go other ways, that looks like being $1.5 million to a whole group of councillors who just moved a 0% rate rise. So I stand by my previous statements about us spending our money wisely, and I can't look past this chemical because it is safe at this stage, according to all the cancer societies and everybody out there. And quite frankly, I don't fancy paying over $1.5 million to do the same job as $150,000 can do. And I think you'd all have to agree if you're into the responsible use of our money. Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a couple on the speaking list. Councillor Telfer and Councillor Mason. I'll just ask you two councillors, did you have questions? Yes. So Councillor Telfer, you go first.
No, you're I want to speak against, so I need to wait.
Yes, please. Thank you for your patience. Councillor Mason, you had a question?
My question. So if the staff wearing PPE when they're spraying, what happens when a child or a dog comes along 10 minutes after they've sprayed and starts walking in the weeds that have just been sprayed, for instance? What's the protection for the community using when they're using it?
Mr. Lyons?
That's an excellent question. And the answer and the treatment is that we restrict our spraying hours. So we don't do any spraying after 8:30 in the morning. So that would typically be between 7 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. a.m. And my staff would stay on the site until the site is safe.
Okay. Have I got anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? I've got other questions, have I? I'll go to Councillor Valescu and then Councillor Masika if you've got questions, but otherwise I'm looking for anyone else who's speaking in favour of the motion. Go ahead, Councillor Valescu.
Look, I think we've already gone through this issue. I'm supporting this because it gives us the opportunity to perhaps get some new information as far as the alternatives and some of the more cost-effective options. But Council got, I think I raised this question a few times already, and we did get a report and we looked at what would be the most effective and cheapest way. And going on Councillor Mason's concern about kids, we were going to use a steamer in sensitive spots around playgrounds, places like that. Now that $25,000, Council in the end removed that from the budget. So why don't we look at some of those measures to look at the sensitive areas and look at the alternatives. I don't think we're going to get rid of glyphosate, because if we ban it, people can still go down and get it at Bunnings. And also there are some sensitive areas that we don't yet have an effective weed control. So it's actually for environmental protection as far as some of the natives go. We don't have that. And I think that's something that Jerry brought up, who was one of our staff member in the biodiversity area before he left. But I think we need to, if we're serious about it, look at some of those alternatives, but it will have to be at the lower cost. I think once it's removed totally from sale or more restrictions placed broadly, then we can possibly do the same. But I think it's premature now.
So that was more or less speaking in favour. So, Councillor Telfer, you wish to speak against the motion?
Yes, I concur with the comments from Councillor Pryor that we need to be really sensible about reading the conclusion in the agenda from staff, read it carefully, thoughtfully, and look at the whole situation. But we have done this searching through in the past, and it is easy to be emotive without actually changing things very much.
Thank you. Now, are there any other speakers in favour? Councillor Masika, I'll call on you. What were you going to contribute or ask?
No, it wasn't a question, Your Worship. I was just speaking in favour of the motion. I do understand what has been proposed by Councillor Hall to stop use of glyphosate, but we can't stop without knowing alternative, and that's why I'm in favor of the motion, because it's going to give us alternatives, including the cost, and then from there we can be able to make another decision way forward. But regarding up to the issue that is carcinogenic and it's causing something. Everything is carcinogenic in this world, including the food we eat. But we don't stop eating because it's causing cancers. But we normally find alternative. And that's why I look up for this motion for the staff to come with a comprehensive report, which is giving us what are alternatives and how much it's going to cost. And from there, we can decide as a council which way forward.
Thank you. Are you speaking against Councillor Crossland? I'll go ahead anyway.
I'm speaking against.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, we've had several reports on this, and I echo what everyone else has said, but just to draw people's attention to what Councillor Pryor was alluding to, that the costs are already in this report. They're there. It tells you how much more. You're looking at about $1.5 million more every year, which will keep growing because it's actually physically staff costs. The other thing is, we've recently hired Trees for Life. I had a report on Cormorant Reserve recently, and in there is glowing reports on how essential glyphosate is for revegetation projects, and how we've been able to achieve what we've been able to achieve by targeted use of glyphosate. For those who have never volunteered doing environmental work, I can tell you to try and get rid of some of the grasses and olives, and they want to do it by hand tools. Good luck to you. You'll be there a year and you still won't kill the olive. You need these poisons. It is a safe poison. It's a cheap poison. It's just a necessity. And just to again hark back to what Jerry said when he was the biodiversity officer, if you go and have a drink of a full bath load of this glyphosate stuff, you might get sick. Unless you're bathing and swimming and drinking it regularly, it's not going to cause you any issues. If you do want to try and ban carcinogenic substances in the city of Marion, there's probably much easier targets, and maybe you should include that in the report. As Nathan mentioned, you could ban red meat, you could ban hairdressers, you could ban all those things, and you get a much bigger impact at lower cost.
I must say, I don't really mind banning the red meat or the hairdressers, but we better get back to the motion. Anyone else speaking in favour? Can't see any hands up. So, Councillor Hull, would you like to close the debate, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, as I said at the beginning, and just to remind you, right at the beginning of this, I did actually try to seek some guidance about cleaning procedures and where we're at. That didn't work all that well for me.
We got there eventually.
But anyway, look, with this, you either get it or you don't. You either pick up what the community expectations are in terms of this poison, the use of this poison. The other interesting thing is that we've been told that the staff stay around, you know, after this sprayed. Well, what about the fellow that leans out the side window of the ute spraying as they go along? I don't think he hangs around at all. We've all seen that happening, you know, where they're leaning out the window with the spray, you know, indiscriminately spraying weeds as they go along down the verge, sometimes poisoning people's hedges. I've had to deal with cases like that before as well. But In terms of the motion, Mr. Mayor, it is calling for a report. Now, sure, we've had reports before, but we are moving along with technology and understandings. We've got a new council that hasn't had the exposure to such a report, thorough report about the options that we could use. Staff have not addressed the issue that Councillor Gard and I have identified quite firmly. That is that once we do spray it, what happens then? About the overgrowth that's left in our streets. No, that's not picked up at all in any of the advice that we've been given thus far. Maybe this report will address that, how we actually do get rid of the dead weeds in our street that have been poisoned. Some of them are quite big. And I just think that we can actually have a much better look at this. And that's what this motion's all about, Mr. Mayor, and I welcome the opportunity to put it forward.
Thank you. Councillor Schilling, did you want me to read out the motion, or did you want it up on the screen, or what? Before voting.
It's just been sent in the chat, and I've read that. Thank you.
All right. So, but if anyone wants the reference again, it's on page 181 of the agenda. All right. I'm putting the motion just by physical hands will do. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those put your hands down. Those against, raise your hand. I'm sorry, it is just too difficult doing it this way with a close vote. So I'll ask you to do it with the hands up signal, participants, and then choose raise hand. So those who are in favour of the motion, please mark with your raise hand signal. I see six, so please lower those hands before we take the next vote. And now raise hands if you are against the motion. I see five. Do we have someone missing?
Councillor Hutchinson has left the meeting.
Okay. So the motion is carried. Thank you. That...
Could I ask for a division, please, Mayor?
A division, Councillor Crossland. So we'll just do that again. It's still the most effective way of doing it. So if all hands go down for the moment, thank you, councillors, and put your... electronic hand up if you are in favour of the motion. So I'll read out those that I see in favour. Councillors Gard, Hull, Mason, Clancy, Villescu and Masika. Put your hands down, please. Right. If you are against the motion, please raise your hand. Those against, Councillors Pryor, Duncan, Telfer, Crossland and Schilling. I'll just ask Ms. McKenzie to confirm that everyone's voted once.
Yes, everyone's voted.
Then the motion is carried on the division. Thank you. And 21:29 PM. So we have come to the end of the meeting.
Sorry, Mayor Hannah, just before we conclude, I'm not sure whether you want to do that motion on note without notice quickly for the LGA planning code matter.
Yes, we've just got time. Would somebody like to move that our submissions to a general meeting of the LGA be directed to the LGA board directly, or be sent to the LGA board directly? That's what they've invited us to do, and it achieves the same effect. Moved, Councillor Schilling, seconded, Councillor Velescu. Any comment? Then just raise your hand if you agree. Seems very sensible. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So with that, I'll conclude the meeting. Thanks everyone for your cooperation.